This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisan and Noel Lim. In about 10 minutes, we'll be diving into the decision to delay the implementation of Undi 18 with remarks from Syed Sadiq Syed Abdul Rahman, co-founder of Muda. But before that, we are revisiting the topic of vaccine registration. Yesterday, we discussed the possibility of the government imposing a COVID-19 vaccine registration deadline in order to encourage more Malaysians to sign up for the vaccine. In addition to that, the minister in charge of the vaccinations, Khairi Jamaluddin, said the COVID-19 immunization task force will be launching face-to-face registrations via house visits as well as phone calls in an effort to drive vaccine registration numbers up.
Phone calls will be made to the public who have the MySejahtera app but have not signed up for the vaccine, while the house-to-house community outreach program for manual registrations will cover all areas, especially in the rural and interior where internet access is lacking.
So the program will be carried out by the National Disaster Management Agency, assisted by the Civil Defence Force. NGOs are also expected to be involved. So we're continuing that conversation today with Tan Sri Dr. Jamila Mahmood, Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on Public Health. Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Jamila. Now, we understand that only about 6 million people have registered to be vaccinated. What's the number that we need to meet in order to reach herd immunity?
Good morning. Thank you very much. Well, the ambition is to have at least 70% of our Malaysian population that's eligible to be registered, plus 10% of foreigners, when we are talking about migrants, refugees as well. So if we look at the number of people who are eligible above 18 years of age, you're talking about 70% of our 32 million population. So we can do the math from there. So we still have some way to go, but this is really expected of an adult vaccination program. It's very different from a children's vaccination program, and you will see that we will have a slow pickup and then it catches up.
What are some of the key reasons more people are not coming forward to register?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, adult vaccination programs are very different. In Malaysia, for example, routine flu, seasonal flu shots are not something that a lot of Malaysians take, unlike those in the northern countries. So I think Malaysians have a tendency to kind of wait and see. A lot of Malaysians I've spoken to said, well, we know it's the frontliners' turn right now, so we will register when it's our turn. So what we want to do is really continue encouraging Malaysians to do so.
Now, we ran a poll yesterday indicating that people were not keen on having a deadline imposed on the COVID-19 registrations. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the likelihood of something like that happening? And do you think that would help accelerate the vaccine registration?
Well, first of all, there isn't a policy decision on a deadline. I think the Prime Minister floated an idea to really, first of all, see what the whether people would be inspired to quickly register, also to hear the views of people. So I think that we heard clearly, and I also participated in your poll yesterday, and people are anxious about a deadline. So I think what we will do is that might be something of last resort, but I doubt that we need to get there. What we need to do is continually encourage people to register and find ways to make it easy for them to do so.
Dr. Jamila, I'm very interested to know how you voted on our poll. Did you support a deadline or no deadline?
Undi itu rahsia, but
so in the meantime, Dr. Jamila, could you tell us more about some of the community outreach strategies that are being put in place? Who's involved? How many boots on the ground? How effective do you expect this to be in encouraging registration before we get to that point where we have to consider a deadline as a last resort?
The management of COVID, whether it is in preparedness response or the vaccination rollout, requires all of society to come together. For the vaccination rollout per se, what we have done is, using the same mechanism that NADMA, the National Disaster Management Authority, has been doing to reach out to people, to utilize the network as well. Now, the management is very much not just federal level, it's very decentralized. So, for example, in Putrajaya, we have the Central COVID Immunization Task Force, which is replicated in each state. This requires for whether it's the National Security Council together with the state state administration, the police, the Jabatan Daerah, you know, the district officers, the health health directors as well. So all this is replicated until the district level and so forth. So in order for us to have a community outreach, we will use this existing government mechanisms plus civil society organizations, the Red Crescent, St. John's Ambulance, NGOs, community leaders, Tok Batin among Orang Asli communities, also refugee and migrant community leaders. So first of all, they need to know what they need to do. So we make it easy either for them to, you know, there are many ways to register. So either they can use their own handheld devices or we provide them with forms, you know, for hard copies so that they can register and support them all the way. We also ensure that they receive some training. So the training, some training, for example, for volunteers will be done virtually online. And this is coordinated with the Ministry of Sports, Ministry of Higher Education, as well as the Malaysian Red Crescent that has a portal called MyVac. I hope people will go there and register to be volunteers. The second is at the state and district levels, the training will also be conducted because we need to be very cautious that every district, every state will have different cultural norms. And we need to take into consideration all these nuances in terms of languages, in terms of how people interact, how communities gather, and really mobilize civil society to do that as well. You would have heard that door-to-door campaigns will happen soon. And also we have to also equip our community volunteers and the authorities who are working on this with also basic knowledge and on vaccinations themselves, because they may be asked questions. So, and if they don't know, there's a number they can call, we can support them as well.
Dr. Jamila, I appreciate that there are a lot of efforts being put in place to try and combat vaccine hesitancy and encourage take-up of the COVID-19 vaccines. But what are your thoughts on the pace of the vaccine rollout that we've seen so far in the country? Because we have heard criticisms that it should have been faster, particularly in this phase one, which mostly involves frontliners. Shouldn't the pace therefore have been a lot faster, a lot more efficient than we've seen?
Of course, we all want things to roll out fast, but one of the limiting factors in phase one, which is, as you rightly pointed out, for frontliners, is to ensure that we don't have any challenges with the supplies. You know, we are still new in our vaccination program. The shipment comes every week from our suppliers for Pfizer and now Sinovac. And when we were rolling it out, we took a policy of give one and save one, because you need to give the second dose in 21 days. Now that we've seen the shipment being very steady and Pfizer has assured us of no bottlenecks, we can now speed up and do, you know, immediately administer without saving one, because we know it will come. So this was a decision made this week. We have to date vaccinated 443,124 people on the first dose and 93,557 on the second dose. So once we complete phase one and we have our supplies already for phase two, we can then accelerate. The target is to meet at least 150,000 a day.
Well, thinking beyond frontliners and the elderly, and very quickly, what's the best strategy to deliver the vaccination to rural communities, especially those in Sabah and Sarawak? Or are they expected to travel to bigger towns to get vaccinated?
That's a very good question. Every community in the country requires its own strategy of delivery. As you rightly pointed out, in rural communities, we may not expect them to come to us, so we may need to go to them. But having said that, there are hundreds what we call the vaccination sites or Pusat Pemberian Vaksin distributed around the country. And we have also geolocated, you know, where people are living to where the PPVs are. So which means that it is not, it is usually within a 10-kilometer radius. So if it is accessible, even rural communities can come. But when we talk about, you know, indigenous communities, those who are living in the interior, obviously we have to find new strategies. And we've done this with children vaccinations. The Ministry of Health has worked with community organizations as well to run mobile clinics. I myself, in my days in Mercy, Malaysia, have been in the interior of Sarawak and Sabah, you know, with teams going in to provide health care. So we need to employ the same thing. So for this to happen, it's not just the Ministry of Health, but also civil society organizations and NGOs, and also private sector. In some communities, we may need to use 4x4s. We need to use the timber lorries to get us in there and the timber roads. So we will require an all of society approach for that.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Dr. Jamila. That was Tan Sri Dr. Jamila Mahmud, Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on Public Health, with her insights into the COVID-19 vaccine registration process that we're seeing right now in the country. Now, up next, we're going to be speaking with Syed Sadiq Syed Abdul Rahman, founder of MUDA, on the delayed implementation of Undi 18, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.